today on Anchored in the Word.
God's promises came to pass. God's promises. So the first reason that Paul had to be confident in God is because his promises always came to pass. Did you know that God can't lie? And did you know that this is a book of promises? Because the promises of God really are the Bible. And the things in the Bible are going to come to pass. God has never broken a promise. And Paul learned to be a man who took God at his word, because remember, one of the things that he said was, I believe God.
But I'm anchored deep in your clean love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. If you have confidence in self, you go on the shelf. That's the message Pastor Bill delivers today as he shares about the Apostle Paul, who showed that his confidence was fully in the Lord. Listen as we find out how to avoid letting our lack of confidence become fear. God promises to sustain us and give us peace, and He keeps His promises. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
Confidence. I know that's one thing that the world sees as very important. And actually, it is very important, this idea of confidence. And I remember being in sports, and I got to tell you, when you play sports, confidence is very important to be successful. Anyway, to be successful that way, because one of the things that confidence brings, at least in sports, is you can relax then. You relax. And to play sports and to be good at it, you must be relaxed. If you're tense, you can't catch a ball. Believe me, your hands are like rocks, and you have to have rocks, hands that are soft, and other things, even running. I was learning, I never quite learned this, but you can learn how to run. People that really know how to run, you got to be relaxed. I'm talking about even fast runners. There's a point that you have to, you got to be made that way fast, real fast. But even when you do it, there's a relaxing that must take place that you can work, your body can work. So how do you get to that point is by gaining confidence. And the way that you gain confidence for that kind of thing is to train, to practice. And how you practice is you just do that thing over and over and over again. I remember shooting baskets, and the guys that can play basketball at the level of the NBA, the shooters, they get to a place where they don't ever miss. In practice, a lot of these guys don't ever miss. I mean, very seldom do they ever miss. I know when they have defense on them, then they can miss a little bit more. But in their mind's eye, when they miss, it's like, I can't believe I missed. I mean, that's when you get to a point where you're just so confident because you've done something over and over and over again. And so you gain confidence, and you can relax as a result of that confidence. But, you know, one of the things about sports, you know, they call it slumps, you know, in baseball. Even these great players that have confidence, I don't know how they do it, how they can hit it. They say that's one of the hardest things to hit a baseball. You know, fastball, because I don't know how they do it. These guys do it consistently, but they go into slumps. And you hear them talking about, well, he's lost it, you know, because you lose your confidence. After a while, you're thinking, what happened? I mean, so my confidence in me, even if you take it to that level of professional, where you're getting paid to do this, even they lose their confidence at times. They go into slumps. Every great player goes into what they call a slump, meaning you can't hit the ball. You couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, they say. And so you've lost your confidence, and they try and seek to get that confidence back. But that's a different kind of confidence. That's the kind of confidence that the world would see as important. As we look at chapter 28 of Acts, there's a confidence being talked about there. The Apostle Paul, if you remember in our last chapter, he was in a shipwreck. And I'm sure those mighty sailors lost a lot of their confidence out in the middle because they gave up all hope. Their confidence in themselves came to an end, and they realized, we're going to die here. We can't sail out of this one. It's over. And so they lost their confidence. But we see, even after that shipwreck, as the Lord was interacting with his chosen vessel, Paul had the right kind of confidence. He had a confidence in God. That's the kind of confidence I want to talk to you about today. Because if you'd open your Bibles to the end of the book of Acts, the last two verses in 28, we're going to read these last two verses, 30 and 31. It tells us where Paul is and ends up at the end of the book of Acts. The very end of the book of Acts, this is where Paul finds himself. Verse 30, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his rented house and received all who came to him. He was in Rome, in his own rented place. He received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So Paul had confidence. And it wasn't just in his ability to preach. And Paul had an education in the Old Testament. But remember what Paul said about himself. He says, I don't come with eloquence of speech. He says, I come to you in the power of God. And what he knew, that what he had grasped, was that he realized that God uses people. He uses vessels. And the one thing that the vessel that's going to be used of God, and to the degree that he will be used of God, is they must have confidence. But in God, not in yourself. If you got confidence in yourself, that's the first thing he's going to do. Confidence in yourself, you get put on the shelf. If you have confidence in self, you go on the shelf. Okay? It's confidence in him that the believer is to possess. That's what Paul had. That's what we're talking about. God wants us to have confidence. He's got a call in your life to be a witness for Christ, to speak up when others are going along with the tide, going to hell in a handbasket. But everybody said, well, that's okay, isn't it? After all, we've got to be tolerant. Speak up. Be a light. Be salt. You know, when you put salt in a wound, it hurts. It makes a difference. Salt is a preservative. We're salt. What good is the salt if it's lost its savor? It's tasty. You know, when you put a lot of salt on your food, like it or hate it, you can't deny that it's there. I remember one time my wife made me some oatmeal. So the idea of salt, I know you're supposed to put a little bit in cooking. I don't know enough about cooking, but salt does something. But I just can't even put anything. I'll skip the salt. But one day she did something, and the salt thing must have fallen open. And so I'm sitting there, and she's a diligent wife. She brings me my breakfast in the morning in my study. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there. I could taste the salt right away. And I'm like, she put too much, but man. So I'm thinking, you know, then you get the dilemma. Do you go and tell your wife that you don't like what she cooked, you know? And you don't go there. It's not, you know, because you don't want to hurt their feelings, you know? So I forget, I didn't say anything, but I couldn't even eat it. So she came in, I forget how it came, but she told me, you know, she saw the stuff. She goes, I'm sorry, the salt thing fell open and I thought I got it out or something. But salt, you can't deny that it's there. And we're called to be that in the world. You say, well, yeah, but I'm not. Well, you need confidence to be bold, and you need confidence from the Lord, not in you. What we're going to look at is 6 reasons, and there are more, by the way, than this. This is not an exhaustive list of the reasons to be confident in God. But there are 6 reasons that Paul is confident in God in chapter 28. Because we find him, he's confident in God. He's in prison. He's in jail. He's got his own place. People are coming to see him. He's preaching the gospel, not worried, concerned about his circumstance, because he's got confidence in God. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Remember, they'd just gotten off the ship. The ship had gone down. People swam to shore. There was an island there. Some people took, you know, floating wood into shore. But it says here at the end of the last chapter that they all escaped safely. That's the important point. Now, verse 1 says, now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta, which means refuge. And the first reason that Paul had to be confident in God, he was confident because God gives promises. By the way, this was a promise. They all escaped. All 276 people that were on that boat, although the boat crashed up and broke in the waves, every one of them was safe. Why was that? Because why could Paul be confident? Acts chapter 27, verse 24, the last chapter said this. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Promise from God. Paul was wavering. Paul was losing confidence because it says, the angel said, do not be afraid. I mean, a lack of confidence is fear. I remember playing third base in our softball league, and some of those guys hit the ball hard to third base, okay? And it's great. You know, I get this huge glove as big as you could possibly get, and I'm playing third base, and you make a couple catches, and you feel like, okay, relax. And you can actually get out relaxed out there. But I tell you what, you miss one or two of them, and you get real tense, you know? And the guys are good. They don't say anything to you. You know, they're not, you know, they know we're out there just to have fun and everything, but you miss a few, and I got to tell you something. You get a little tense. But Paul had a promise from the Lord, and he was afraid at that time, but God reminded him of the promise. Paul, you're going to Rome, and everybody on this ship, Paul, is going to make it. And he even said to them, not one hair of everybody's head is going to perish if you stay with the ship. And sure enough, here they are on shore now, 276 men. Everybody on that ship got off. They all escaped. In other words, once again, in Paul's life, God's promises came to pass. God's promises. So the first reason that Paul had to be confident in God is because his promises always came to pass. Did you know that God can't lie? And did you know that this is a book of promises? Because the promises of God really are the Bible. And the things in the Bible are going to come to pass. God has never broken a promise. And Paul learned to be a man who took God at his word, because remember, one of the things that he said was, I believe God. I don't believe in the wind and the waves and all the thing. It looks bad right now, but God said this. Nevertheless, he said, I believe God. God's promises. Has God ever given you a promise, a personal promise? Now, the Bible's full of promises. And as you read the Bible, you will see these promises. Have you seen a promise of God come to pass in your life? If you haven't, hopefully you will soon after today. But if you have, those are reasons to believe in the confidence in God, not in you. He's not asking you to be confident in yourself. Paul wasn't saying, I'm confident in my beliefs or my ability to preach. He was confident in God that he was called to be there. God proved it by getting him there. And so now he's there and he's set up. God's given him a place to live, his own apartment. All the other prisoners didn't have that, but he did. And then he was just sending people to Paul. And Paul could relax. That's one of the things that we have when we have confidence in God, is a relaxed place. In other words, peace, right? The peace that surpasses understanding. God wants you to have that. And many times people, as they watch you go through the storms of life and they see this peace that you possess, your confidence isn't in you. It isn't in the circumstance. It isn't in the doctors. It isn't in the lawyers. But it's in God. You can't deny the peace that passes understanding, and it comes from God's promises. And seeing God keep his promises. Every promise that's in the Bible is going to come to pass. It's just a question of when. And so you can have confidence in God because of the promises that he gives. And I want to tell this to you. If you have had a promise that God said it didn't happen, and I'm talking about it was a time-sensitive promise, you know what I mean? Like it couldn't happen in the future. Couple of things there. One, either it hasn't come to pass yet, and you're just being too impatient. Two, you didn't hear from God. That wasn't something that God had told you. I can guarantee you, because he never fails. Jesus never fails. So this idea of God's promises that are found in the Word of God, Paul was holding on to God's promises, and in chapter 28, the first verse, he's reminded again, even as these men are dripping wet, sopping wet, cold, but alive. He was reminded that they'd all escaped as God said they would. Verse 2. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've been cold and in rain and a fire feels really good, you know, doesn't it? You don't care about the smoke getting on you. Matter of fact, you want it to get on you because that's heat. You know what I mean? You want it. You don't care. And you just feel just warming up next to that fire when you're cold and wet. That's quite a good feeling. And so these natives were blessing them. And it says in verse 3, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, and by the way, isn't that part of the process of the fire? When it's cold, you go get some sticks and throw it on, and you want the fire to get warmer and warmer. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened to his hand. And I'm thinking, my worst nightmare, you know? It's one thing. It would gross me out that there would be a snake in the sticks that I just picked up. But the fact that he grabs onto your hand, you throw the sticks in the fire, and he's like, and grabs your hand. I mean, you're sitting there. It's like, oh, man, that's my worst nightmare. But the grace of God. I'm sure Paul didn't like things like that either. So the serpent grabbed him, and fastened to his hand. Verse 4 says, so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. You know, they're making the judgment, you know. They knew that they were all prisoners, and sure, you wonder about prisoners. What did he do? What did he do? But they're thinking, you know, they're making a judgment here, and their judgment is wrong. But God did want them to see that. I'm convinced that God had them there. He wanted them to partake of this little episode here. And so it says in verse 5, Paul, and I love this, and you watch Paul in his life, and he did this a number of times. He did it literally here, but figuratively, Paul did this. It says that he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Paul, in his life, he seemingly could just shake things off. I mean, here's a guy that was shipwrecked 3 times. They say maybe 4 times. Would you ever get on a boat again? I mean, if you were in 3 plane, because they use boats like we use planes. If you were in 3, survived 3 plane crashes, would you go on another plane? Would you think, well, maybe I should take another mode. Maybe let's get a bus or something. But the grace of God, see? The grace of God, he overcame his fears. But it says in verse 5, and it's our second point where we get our confidence in God, is he says he suffered no harm. God's protection. So we got God's promises. And the second point here in verse 5 is God's protection. Now, Mark 16:18, I want you to turn there. This is a biblical promise for those that preach the gospel. And I believe that we're all called to preach the gospel, by the way. And Mark 16:18, as Jesus was giving the Great Commission to go forth and preach to all creatures, preach to all people, go into the whole world, he says, and preach the gospel to every creature. And it says in verse 17, we'll start it in verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You see, this was a promise of God. This is a direct fulfillment of that word that, yeah, Paul was in the business of preaching the gospel. He was just doing what he was called to do and building a fire, and a serpent grabbed him, and that was God's protection. That was God's direct protection. I believe that was a poisonous snake. I believe that those natives did know what kind of snakes were on that island. And we'll see it as we go to the next couple of verses. They believed it so much, there was not one doubt in their mind. Maybe that wasn't a poisonous snake after all. Maybe we just thought it was, because we'll see what happened to Paul. But it says there in verse 5 that he suffered no harm. God's protection. You know, there are those that take that verse in Mark, that one verse, and they have made doctrine by it, and they have their worship services by taking poisonous snakes. I think this is somewhere in Virginia. But anyway, they actually take rattlesnakes and they get in these corrals and they handle rattlesnakes as part of their worship. And they see that as exercising faith. You know, and even if they get bit by a poisonous snake, by the way, people have died in this way. So I don't know why they're, how many of people dying does it take them to realize, well, maybe we misinterpreted the scriptures on this one. Because that's really testing God. And you can do the same thing with this idea of faith and confidence in God. Remember, it's not a confidence in confidence. It's a confidence in God. It's not a faith in faith. It's a faith in God. And so they've misinterpreted. What God has said is, as you're going out, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. And if you're supposed to get bit by a poisonous snake and die, then it will happen. But God didn't fail. That's just the way that you were to leave. Otherwise, I'm going to protect you. And so this was a case where God was just protecting. It wasn't Paul's time. He hadn't been to Rome yet, remember? It says he suffered no harm. So we see God's promises, God's protection. And it says in verse 6, however, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. This must have been a very poisonous snake. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, you know, you notice they didn't say, maybe we didn't see that snake right. Maybe that was a such and such and not a such and such. No, it says that they changed their minds and said that he was a god. They went from one extreme to the other. Now, here's what they're seeing. They're getting warm in the sense that they're recognizing something supernatural that just took place. Because they'd seen these snakes bite people before, and probably every other time that this had happened, the result was they swelled up and died. But this time it was different. And so they recognize that there's something divine about this. But the problem is they want to make Paul divine. And it wasn't Paul was divine. There was a divine one that was protecting him. So they were on the right track to a degree. But again, their confidence really was put in the wrong place. It was put in a man. And so we see God's protection again. They thought he was a god. Verse 7, in that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Now, you talk about God's protection. Look what God does. They go from a shipwrecked people sitting in front of a fire, and then next thing you know, the richest guy on the island, the most important guy on the island, they're going to hang out at his house for a while. Think about that. They go to the big mansion on the hill, and shipwrecked people never had it so good. And it says, he received us, verse 7, and he entertained us courteously for 3 days. Verse 8, and it happened. And you see that in the Bible. And it happened. Because, you know, so many times when you're in the midst of walking with the Lord and you're suffering shipwreck and a snake fall, you know, the snake goes into the fire, you know, this thing's happening. You're just wondering, Lord, I know you got me here for a reason. I'm just not sure what it is yet. And then it happened. You know, it's almost like, well, you see, now I know, I think why this is. We don't know at all. You know what I'm getting at? When you realize, now I get it, God. I see the plan, your plan. But it says, and it happened that as the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery, Paul went into him and prayed. Now, the third reason that you have to have confidence in God, and Paul certainly experienced a lot of this in his life. He's about to experience it right here in verse 8. God answers prayers. God answers prayers. Look what happens. It says that he's sick. Paul prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. He prayed, he laid his hands, and then he healed him. But what we're seeing here is an answer to prayer. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever answered one of your prayers? God answers prayers. It's amazing. I mean, I know if I had enough confidence in God, I should just not even think it's amazing. It's just like, that's who he is. Why wouldn't I think that? Every prayer that I pray, I should have an expectation that it's going to be answered. Well, the problem is every prayer I've ever prayed hasn't been answered yet. And some of the reason why is, I'll tell you this, is because I don't always pray aright. Yeah, there's a right way to pray. I mean, Jesus prayed right when he was on the earth. His disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because we don't always pray right. Sometimes we pray selfishly. James talked about that. He talked about just, it would be a selfish prayer. It's all about me, what I want and what I think. You know, the Bible talks about this, praying in the Spirit.
There's much more Pastor Bill Beckelman would like to share with you, but we've run out of time for today. This has been another edition of Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey. Pastor Bill will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Acts next time. All of Pastor Bill's messages through the Bible are available to listen to or download for free at our website, anchoredintheword.com. That's anchoredintheword.com. While you're at the website, you can follow us on Facebook, learn more about Anchored in the Word, Calvary Chapel Coastlands, listen to more of Pastor Bill's messages, learn about other ministries at Calvary Chapel Coastlands, as well as upcoming events and even our location. That's all available at anchoredintheword.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From all of the production team here at Anchored in the Word, we want to say thank you for tuning in. We appreciate all of you that have supported this program. If you're a first-time listener or have been listening for a while, we would love to hear from you. Your testimonies have been a great encouragement to us. If you have an encouraging testimony to share, call us at 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. Now, please make plans to join us again for the next study through Acts with Pastor Bill, as we stay moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.